It's here. On behalf of Sharon Memorial Hospital and the Foundation, we hope you will come out with your family and friends to join us at beautiful Whitney Park on Saturday, October 18th to support our annual The Link Partners in Pink Walk and Run. All proceeds from this year's event will support comfort and care for our patients and families at the Welch Cancer Center right here at home. To register, support these efforts, or learn more, visit SheridanHospital.org. And remember, screening and early detection is the best defense against this disease.
Good evening. This is Discount Dracula at the Restore. We need everything to literally make a home a castle. Furniture, appliances, cabinets, tools. As Dr. Stein says, let me be frank. We need it all. And when you donate to the Restore, proceeds go towards building new castles, I mean homes, right here in Sheridan County. So don't miss out. Too much is at stake. Donate to the Restore, 44 Fourth Road. And on Halloween Day, get an extra 10% off your purchase if you're wearing your costume.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, October 8th, from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Wyoming Game and Fish Department Public Information Specialist, Christina Schmidt. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning.
It's been quite the fall season so far. You got a couple different things going on. Some folks in the city have seen something very strange recently. How's everything else going on up at the department?
Well, busy. Yeah, hunting season. One word answer, October.
Yeah, you know, that's all you got to say.
October. So it's busy. Certainly lots of people coming into the office, getting licenses, asking questions. Lots of people in the field. So, busy time. It's always busy time.
Now, when we go into these hunting seasons, do all the rangers and wardens kind of stick around to their neighborhoods specifically? Or are there times when you're like, hey, you know what? We could use an extra hand up here, and you guys transfer somebody up for a week or something like that?
Oh, good question. So there are 50-some-odd warden districts in the state. So they have districts. It's not by county or anything like that. A lot of people think it's, you know, a county line.
That's what I would have thought.
Yeah, it's not by county. There are different, you can actually look at a map online on the Game and Fish website that shows the different districts and who's in that district. Like the Dayton Warden District, it's a very long, skinny district. East to west along the state line and down a bit. So
like the Dayton corridor.
Right. Yeah. And then there's a Sheridan warden and a Buffalo warden and a Casey warden. But it's not by county. There's different boundaries. But generally a district game warden, they are responsible for their district. That is their primary responsibility to patrol and work with landowners and hunters and the general public within that area. That being said, this time of year, hunting season, they're out of the office most of the time, which is why we tell people if you see a violation, what you think might be a violation, to call the Stop Poaching hotline, because dispatchers are keeping track of where everybody is and within their district, if it's particularly time sensitive. So if it's something, hey, I saw something yesterday, they're going to send you to the district warden because that's their area of responsibility. And hey, call them, report what you saw. But if it's something ongoing, like, hey, I'm sitting here now, I'm saying this, those dispatchers are going to see who is closest. So, for example, the Dayton Sheridan example, maybe the Dayton warden happens to be, he may be in his district, but he may be closer to
the incident,
where the incident is happening. And so that person was, so it's defined boundaries for sure, but a lot of flexibility too, just to make sure those calls get answered in a timely way.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That the way that that's operated. I mean, and during investigations, do all the boundaries kind of fall, or is there like a, well, this is your district, so you're the one who's got to testify? Or is
usually, usually if it's in their district, they're going to be the person to investigate the incident. Yeah.
Now, I did say that some folks have been seeing something around town that's a little odd. Can you fill us in on a neighborhood visitor who may have gotten into a little bit of trouble recently.
Yeah, we are letting folks know there is a buck deer who a few days ago did get entangled in a soccer net.
He's enthusiastic about the sport.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm sure it's one of those things, was probably rubbing on, you know, a post or something like that. Anyways, got entangled. Personnel did respond. They did get the animal removed out of the soccer net, but a piece of the soccer net is still attached to the antlers. So we've gotten some calls. People have seen it and are concerned. At this time, even though there's this net attached to, you know, I think one side of the antlers, it's not impeding movement or its ability to eat or anything like that. So we've been getting some calls, so folks don't need to call if they see it necessarily. However, if you see it and it does appear that maybe, you know, a leg has gotten stuck in it, or he, you know, he is having mobility problems, then do give a call. Otherwise, we do know he's out there, and that net should eventually fall off on its own, either, you know, now or when the antlers come off. But certainly, like I said, there's no need to call unless it does look like he's having some kind of trouble.
He's not getting around anymore.
Right, right. And the last report we got was a couple blocks in the neighborhood up by the junior high, just a couple blocks from there.
Some junior high kids may see something out there, and if they bring home stories, just remember, as long as he's moving, everything's good to go. But that is a possibility of getting a leg through that net and becoming an issue in the future. And if you happen to see that, please, folks, give a ring. Last year, 2 years ago, we were reminiscing on the deer who got some sort of lid wrapped around her neck. And I can't remember if I ended up reporting on it or not, but I do want to let everyone know that Game and Fish did go out there and did get that lid off of her so she could go about her business eventually.
Yes, there are some cases where, you know, things become entangled in an antler where, like we said, it's not going to be any, it's not going to be impactful to the animal in any way. So then it's left, but in that instance, that lid was not going to come off on its own. It was not something that was ever going to
just fall off.
So, yes, it was immobilized and that was removed.
All right. Moving on down the line. How common are these? I mean, we've got the lid last year. We got the net this year. To your memory, because you've been up here, this has been your district for quite some time. I mean, do we see things like this quite a bit? You told me about a story about a bike helmet once.
Yeah, it seems, you know, animals living in an urban setting are going to come into contact with, you know, our things. So soccer nets and volleyball nets, certainly we have seen that. We've seen moose get into volleyball nets.
Oh, my goodness.
Again, just kind of maybe walking by and get caught. So one thing folks can do is when you're not using it, just have it laying down. Don't leave it up all the time. That is a help. So soccer nets and volleyball nets, Christmas lights, as we start getting into the Christmas season, think about where, you know, if those can be put up at a height, high enough on the shrubs that they're not going to get entangled. It does seem like, not necessarily in Sheridan, but somewhere around the state every year, we do hear of deer with
Christmas lights.
Yeah. So, that does happen. And like you said, it's been several years now, but there was one that had somehow, I don't know how this happened, but somehow one, a buck mule deer got the chin strap of a bike helmet on one tine of the antler. And so it was
just kind of dangling
going
there,
with him everywhere he went. So, certainly some can be some unusual things, but yeah, folks can certainly help. Soccer nets, volleyball nets, just take them down when you're not using them.
Yeah. You know, I've had three bucks. It's down to two, unfortunately, visit my yard around the same time of year, every single year. And it's around now actually, because it kind of became an issue. I think my wife ended up carving six pumpkins one year just because they ate a lot of pumpkin, and that's all I'm going to say. They ate a lot of pumpkin that year. Moving on to our next subjects, CWD, chronic wasting disease. What are the current rules for carcass transport and disposal? You and I touched on this last month. We said we were really going to address it this month. The carcass containers are out.
Mm-hmm.
And the landfill's taking them.
Correct. So, you know, the transport and disposal rules have been around for a long time, for several years now. So hopefully folks are really familiar with them. And really they kind of boil down to, for big game carcasses, if you harvest an animal, once you remove all of the required edible portions that you need to remove from the field, what is remaining of that carcass you can leave there at the site of the kill, because that's where the animal was naturally moving. If you remove that animal, take it home for processing, that kind of thing, then all of the carcass, whatever remains, needs to go into an approved landfill. So what we don't want to have happen is that you go dispose of that along a roadway or out on public land or somewhere like that, because of the potential for the spread of chronic wasting disease. And so best practice is, you know, even though you can leave it at the site of the kill, if you wanted to take that extra step, you could remove everything and, into an approved landfill. So Sheridan Landfill very graciously takes carcasses, big game carcasses, free of charge during the hunting season. So that's a great opportunity. And then we've put out, like you said, carcass dumpsters, and we've done these, oh gosh, 4 or 5 years probably.
I
want
to say it's now been about 4 or 5 years.
So. Yeah, it's been a while. So there are actually 4 in the Sheridan region right now. So one that folks may, is really visible that folks may be aware of, is between Dayton and Ranchester on the highway pullout about halfway. There's a carcass dumpster there. The Bureau of Land Management has actually run some carcass dumpsters for several years.
Oh, wow.
Also.
Okay.
So again, very gracious of them to do that. They have one out at their Petrified Tree Recreation Area, west of Buffalo. And then there's, east of Buffalo. And then there's one on Highway 16, just heading west out of Buffalo, kind of on the outskirts of town. So again, 2 opportunities in Buffalo. And this will be the 2nd year we have one in KC.
Oh, wow.
That is on highway, I believe that's 191. So about a mile west of town, heading out of town. It'll be on your left-hand side. So that's year number 2 for that one. And these, you know, they're just meant to be convenient options for folks to, you know, if you live in Dayton and Ranchester, even though you could come into Sheridan to the landfill, it's really convenient to be able to put it into a carcass dumpster. And again, this is for disease mitigation. This really helps us. You know, it is a tool to help potentially limit the spread of chronic wasting disease. So want folks to be real familiar with, you know, transport rules. If anyone's listening, out-of-state hunters, or if you plan to take, you know, part of your animal out of state, be real familiar with what's allowed to do that, but also check with the state that you're going into, because their rules may be very different than ours as well.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Trying to take your meat home may be an issue.
Yeah, there's parts, you know, that some states may not allow for to be imported. So make sure you're following all our rules on what can leave the state, but also check for sure where you're going and make sure that you're following their laws as well.
On that, I'm going to take a quick commercial break. More with our Wyoming Game and Fish Department right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
So Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Legends say the opal holds lightning trapped within its heart, a stone of mystery, once feared but long cherished for its beauty and magic, especially for those with October birthdays. This October, celebrate your own legend with glowing fire opals or shimmering white opals in timeless designs crafted to enchant. Dare to wear the magic of opal from Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main, and online at legacydiamondgems.com, where every piece tells a story.
I just found out that the company that makes yardsticks won't be making them any longer. That's like you trying to tune up your own 4x4 or side-by-side because your repair skills make duct tape cry at night. And if you do it, why, it just ain't going to measure up. So let me edumacate you. You got to get that machine to Hando's Service Center. They got the know-how, measure twice and fix once experience to get the job done right the first time. Hando's Service Center on Sheridan's Heartland Drive, where the jokes are bad but the repairs measure up.
Put on your Sunday clothes. There's lots of world out there.
Well, hello, Sheridan. Dolly Levi here, matchmaker, hat shop habitué, and now premier party planner. Canapés and specialty cocktails await at the 2025 YO premiere of Hello, Dolly, Saturday, October 18th. I can't wait to see the gowns, hats, and splendid get-ups our guests will wear for the occasion.
Cocktails and costumes? Sounds extravagant.
Oh, Horace, don't be such a penny pincher. The music sparkles, the dancing delights, and the hats. Well, I approve of every single one. It's the perfect night out.
And if you can't make the premiere, encore performances run October 19th and October 23rd through 26th.
Well, maybe I'll let Dolly arrange one more thing. My seat.
Reserve your tickets today at yotheater.com. Hello, Dolly opens October 18th with performances through October 26th. Sheridan, come dressed to impress. Dolly's watching.
You're running a business out of your garage. And your office? That's the back seat of your truck. It's time to upgrade. A Shop-A-Minium is your own commercial condo, heated, insulated, power it up, and ready to work. Perfect for welders, woodworkers, side hustlers, and folks who need more than a corner of the laundry room. Shop-A-Miniums gives you a pro space without the landlord drama. Call Donna Garland at Sheridan Realty Associates and ask about Shop-A-Miniums today.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting, and my guest this morning is Wyoming Game and Fish Department Public Information Specialist Christina Schmidt. Now, before the break, we were discussing this year's chronic wasting disease disposal, and we're going to talk about some monitoring programs. This is a very serious disease that affects a lot of population here in the state of Wyoming. Christina, which hunt areas in northeast Wyoming are going to be targeted for CWD surveillance this year?
So a few years ago, folks may remember, we switched our sampling regime. So for many years, we were collecting samples all over the state, as many as possible from everywhere, to see where the disease was moving and spreading.
We needed a baseline.
Yeah, where is it showing up? But a few years ago, they switched to taking a more in-depth look at prevalence rates. So not just, is it here, but what's the rate? What kind of prevalence rate are we looking at? So to do that, it was a change in sampling. And so now there's basically rotating herds that they have a big push to try to get as many samples as possible to get a good statistically valid sample. So, for example, if you test two animals, one is positive, one is not, you say, oh, it's 50%. If you test 100 animals,
yeah,
that's a more statistically valid, and one comes up with the disease detected, that's 1%. Big difference. So that's what this targeting sampling does, is trying to get a lot of samples.
Much better information.
Better information. So for our mule deer herds, the goal is to get 200 samples from mule deer bucks. So that's kind of the goal with them. So it rotates, like I said, every year. So some years we can get all 200 samples in a year. Sometimes it might take a couple years to get to that point. And again, it's a big effort where we reach out to hunters and say we could really use your help. If you harvest an animal in these particular areas, one, personnel may contact you in the field or at a check station and ask for a sample. The next big step is if you harvest an animal in this area, you're not contacted in the field. If you bring it to the office, we can test it. So it's a big help to us. And it's all voluntary. There are some places in the state, some hunt areas that have a mandatory submission. So you do have to take your animal. We don't have those in the Sheridan region right now. Ours are, it is a big help to us, though, if we can get samples from those areas. So we actually have two target areas in the Sheridan region this year. So for elk, that's going to be hunt areas 35 through 40. Up in the Bighorns, just kind of our general area. A lot of folks hunt up there. So 35 through 40 is a targeted area for elk. And then for deer, it's the Pumpkin Buttes mule deer herd, which is hunt areas 19, 29, and 31. Those are hunt areas between Buffalo and Gillette, south of the interstate. And then another one, the Upper Powder River mule deer herd, that's going to be down in the KC area. So, again, if you're hunting in one of these areas, you may get asked to submit a sample. It just takes a few minutes. We take a set of lymph nodes out of the neck. So we do need to have the head available. That's how it's tested. We give you a unique identifying number for that sample. Those samples are mailed to our lab in Laramie once or twice a week, and they process them and run the tests as quick as they can. And on your Game and Fish account, you can go in 7 to 10 days. Sometimes it's shorter, sometimes it's longer. It just depends on how busy the lab is and how many samples are coming in. But they will put on your Game and Fish account, you'll be able to log in and it'll show whether or not CWD was detected in that sample. And sometimes people have multiple licenses, so that's where you get that unique number.
Okay.
So hold on to that number. There's a little sticker. Sometimes we stick it on your license or a piece of paper and give it to you. And that way you can go in and keep track of, this was my deer or this was my elk. And so they will provide you, detected or not detected. So we used to send letters to people directly, but now we have found it's faster, more efficient. Folks can just take a look on their account. Just
jump on the web.
Yeah.
Log in. You already have one.
Yep.
And just look at it and know for sure. Now, CDC... doesn't recommend consuming an animal that is tested positive for CWD, but there is no evidence that it can transfer to human beings as of right now.
Correct. As of right now, they have not found evidence of that, but you are correct. The Centers for Disease Control and the World Health Organization recommend that if your animal... if the disease is detected, that meat not be consumed. So that is your decision, and you do have the option to legally dispose of the meat then if you choose not to eat it. Which brings up the other point, if you're not in one of these targeted areas, but you do want your animal tested just for your own knowledge, you can always bring that to the Game and Fish office during regular business hours. Again, we do need the head. Those lymph nodes sit just a little below the jawbone. So definitely leave, a few inches. If you're not bringing the whole animal, if you're just bringing the head, leave a few inches to make sure that those are in there when we look for them. And we do need a really good, location too. So when you're out hunting, if you're able to provide us, GPS location is great, as specific as possible where you were, again, this is just for monitoring the disease. If you know, for every animal that the disease is detected, we'd like to put on a map and know where they are. So paperwork takes just a few minutes, but if you bring the head, be ready to fill out some paperwork, know exactly where the animal was harvested from, and unfrozen. An unfrozen head.
That's a good point.
I've had a couple people bring them in, and even though we have very sharp scalpels, it's kind of dangerous. And, you know, I had one that was like partially thawed, but it wasn't conducive. And then basically we have to leave it set for
a while.
Yeah. So unfrozen, please, and be ready to fill out the paperwork. And we're open 8 to 5. So if you come in anytime, 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, there's many of us at the office that know how to take these samples. So we'll be able to do that for you.
Now, switching gears on you real quick, I'm running out of time with you, but I did want to touch on this. Let's talk brucellosis.
Yes. So brucellosis, we do have sampling going on in Northeast Wyoming, pretty much all of Northeast Wyoming. Again, this kind of rotates around the state where they're looking for brucellosis samples. This is very different testing. That is a blood sample. And so hunters who have licenses in the areas that we're targeting, not every single hunter will get a test kit in the mail, but a random sample does. And so you would get this small box that has, you know, a pair of gloves and a test tube. And basically, if you harvest an elk, we would like a fresh blood sample from that elk. And you put it in the test tube, there's instructions in it, and then you mail it back. And those get mailed out about 2 weeks or so before the opening of whatever season you have a license for. So, you know, they have staggered opening dates. So you would get that, you know, a couple weeks prior. So please put it in your hunting pack, take it with you. If you're able to get a sample, please do not freeze it. It needs to be kept cool, but not frozen.
Okay.
Yep. And then if you see a game warden or a biologist or any game and fish person in the field, you can give it to them, or, you know, give it to the office. I believe that you can also mail it. So, but keep it as cool as you can, as long as possible. And, you know, we have some people ask who say, hey, I've gotten, you know, an elk license the past few years and I didn't get a sample kit. Again, because of so many license holders, we only select, you know, a random number every year. So if you don't get one, that just means you weren't selected. There's nothing wrong.
Okay.
You just weren't selected. But that does make it all the more important for those who don't. Yes. Yes. If you do get one and you do harvest an elk, it really is a big help if we can get a sample.
All right, folks. You know, we've talked about it before, but hunters are some of the best biological teammates that we've got out in the
Absolutely.
Field.
Absolutely.
And the monitoring these diseases and knowing exactly where they are and their prevalence is vitally important for the species itself and the future of hunting here in the Cowboy State. Christine, I've run out of time with you. I want to thank you so much for popping in and saying hi and keeping
thank
us
you.
Up to date. I greatly appreciate you.
Always enjoyed being here.
All right, when we return, we're going to speak with the Tongue River Valley Community Center. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Mandy Kolciska from Century 21 BHJ Realty brings you this Pet of the Week from the Dog and Cat Shelter. 2-year-old Juliet has mama instincts, ready to nurture her favorite people. This very gentle dog is waiting patiently to meet you. 1-year-old Sage is a sweet and curious girl who would love to follow you around and help with chores. Sage doesn't like to cuddle, though. If you don't like to cuddle either, Sage is the perfect kitty for you.
Face it, you don't want to do your own plumbing and heating work or repair. You need a professional, and that is exactly what you will get if you work with Rapp Plumbing and Heating. Being fully licensed, bonded, and insured, you can rest assured that they will take care of your repairs and maintenance in the very best way possible. Call Rapp Plumbing and Heating at 429-1196 and rest easy knowing it'll be done right. This is Dan Rapp with Rapp Plumbing and Heating. And as we like to say, if you find a leak, let me take a peek.
Shan Foster with Country Pet Inn and All Around Canine Training. Part of your job is to bridge the communication gap between humans and dogs.
I have this like obsession with trying to interpret why a dog's doing what it's doing. Even though they do possess so many similar emotions that we do, they also have them for different reasons. Some of the behaviors that dogs exhibit may look like they're doing something based on what we would do, but it's the opposite. Sometimes you just say, here, look what just happened right there. That's why she's doing this. And the owner will go, that is crazy. Yeah. I wondered why she did that. They look at me like I'm magic. It's not me, it's the dog.
Well, it requires somebody who has that knowledge though, to kind of like turn that light on.
Yeah, I consider myself the liaison between a dog and human.
Well, and it's one of those vital things where, you know, without that, they'd never get there.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, you're right. All I'm trying to do is enhance the relationship.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty cool job to have.
Learn more at countrypetinn.com.
Wyoming winters don't ask for permission. They just show up with snow, ice, and wind that finds every weak spot in your roof. Granite 307 Roofing and Exteriors knows Wyoming weather, and we will make sure your home is ready before the worst of it arrives. With metal roofs, impact-resistant shingles, built to withstand Wyoming weather. Plus, we work with your insurance company to take the hassle out of your hands. Your home is protected when it matters most. Call us today for your free inspection, or visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For a second part this morning, I'm joined by the Tongue River Valley Community Center Executive Director, Carly Sanon. Did I say that right?
Sanon.
I didn't say it right. And Program Director Chad Axsmith. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Floyd.
Now, for anyone who might not know, what is the Tongue River Valley Community Center and where is it located, Carly?
The Tongue River Valley Community Center is located in Ranchester and in Dayton. We have two centers. It is a place where people can of all ages can come. We have programming. We have fitness classes. We have after school care. We host the Hub on Smith senior lunches 5 days a week. We have pickleball. We have gym. Kids can come in and play in the gym. We have a rock climbing wall. So we kind of do a variety of everything. Kind of like a typical day, like this morning, we had several fitness classes in both centers, one in Ranchester and in Dayton. We have a pool tournament going on right now as we speak. And then this afternoon, we will pick up kids from the elementary and take them to after school programming. Some days we'll take senior trips. They went up on the mountain to look at the colors last Friday. So we do a whole bunch of different things.
Wow, that sounds like a really busy place up there, Carly.
It is.
I'd love to see a community center honestly being utilized in these ways. Coming and going, people in and out all day long, stopping and seeing people they haven't seen in months and just sitting down and talking at the same time. That's a community center to me. Like the great big hub of activity that's happening out there. So we've pretty much got what it's primarily used for. Is this kind of a 9-to-5 thing or is it a 12-hour? What are your hours up there?
We open, well, we say 9, but we're there. We open at 8. I mean, yeah. We're there. And then we usually are open until 7 or 8 in the evening. And then we do have for our members, keyless access. So, our members can come and work out in both of our weight rooms in Ranchester and Dayton until 10 PM. So they can get in with a key card and they can get on the treadmill or lift, during that time. And then we'll start opening on the weekends here next week. So we'll be open. So our gym, so kids can come in during the weekend and play, you know, people can come in and have coffee or play pickleball. So we're kind of there all day.
So your hours actually extend over the winter as opposed to kind of close up. You guys open it up to let the kids have some place to go.
Well, yeah, we found that, you know, during the summer months, everyone wants to be on the mountains or outdoors. And so we don't get a lot of action in there on the weekends. So once the snow starts to fly and it gets a little cooler, you know, people want to start coming inside and shooting baskets, playing pickleball, just recreating indoors. So
having some place to go with the kids and kind of tire them out before the bed.
Exactly. Hey, Carly didn't touch on it, but our keyless access opens at 4 a.m.
Oh, wow.
So, you can get in there from early. 4 to 9 and then from 8 to 10 at night is all keyless access. So
now, obviously, to get a key or a card or whatever it is that you use to get in, you got to be a member of some sort. So is this a, like, I have to register to go into either one of these facilities? Or is it kind of like a, hey, come and go as you'd like during regular hours, but if you would like a keyless access, I do need you to register.
We encourage people to be members. I mean, obviously, to operate, we need the revenue from memberships, but we're not. So we have kids, we'll have senior citizens that come in and play pinochle or just stop in for the day that might not be members. Mm. But to have the keyless access, you do have to be a member to get that.
Now, the schedule looks extremely full. I jumped on your website today. It looks like there are classes and things happening all the time out there. Are these frequented? I mean, do you get a lot of folks that come in for these things?
Yeah, so, I mean, we can start with our seniors. So with our seniors, like I said, we have lunch 5 days a week. Wednesdays is pinochle day. Tuesday is cribbage day. We have senior fit, which is a fitness class for seniors, 3 days a week. We have pickleball in the mornings. And then we offer, like, different senior events that happen kind of throughout the month. We'll partner with different things. So we partner with the hub for like the antique road show. So we'll bring a bus in.
Oh, wow.
So we'll pick up people in Dayton and then in Ranchester and bring the bus in. On Mondays, we bring a bus in of seniors that go to the pool to do water aerobics. So we get a lot of people on seniors. Last week, they went to the TA Ranch. Or was that 2 weeks ago?
That was 2 weeks ago.
In Buffalo. So we try to do things, all different things. We have chair volleyball that seniors come in and play. So the ones that maybe don't want to play pickleball or not as active can come sit in a chair and play volleyball. So there's social things for our seniors. For our youth, we do a wide variety of stuff. Yeah. We're a 4-day school week, so on Fridays, we offer a Friday enrichment camp. This week, they're headed up to the corn maze in Billings. We partnered with the school there, and then we do after-school clubs, so we're doing a cooking club this month, but that can range from STEM to they did a club on leather work, they did a billiards club, basketball, sport development.
Yeah, just climbing. whatever we can think of that might grab some kids that you know are just sitting at home after school, basically.
Yeah, something to get them active.
Exactly.
Now, how long have you been there, and what inspired you to work up there, Carly?
I'm going on my fourth year, so I started in August of 22. I just was kind of looking, my family life had kind of changed. My husband and I adopted 3 kids. And so I was looking for something where I could spend a little bit more time at home and not traveling. And I guess I don't have to travel, but I spend a lot of time at the community center, but my kids get to be involved.
I was going to say, you could take them with you.
Yeah. So it's been a lot of fun. You know, Chad and I talk a lot about like our job is fun because we never do the same thing every day. Like every day is different. We get to go. You know, I've heard a lot about like the Eaton's Ranch. And so we had a senior trip. I volunteered to drive the bus. So you know, I got to go and see those things. So, you know, some of it, the part of working there is, you know, you get to join in the fun and
get
and
all the
participate.
Perks.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What about you, Chad?
In November, I'll have been there 14 years.
Holy cow. You've been up there for quite a while.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I've worked recreation in Colorado before I moved up here. And then when I moved up here, I worked for the Sheridan Recreation District. And while I was getting to interact with the kids in Sheridan, I wanted to interact with the kids that my kids were growing up with out in the Valley. So, was able to get on out there with Erin Kilbride, and, she was a great mentor for me to, you know, just to really start pouring my heart into the Valley out there. And, so yeah, I've been the program director out there since November of 11, and to see the kids, when they're 3, 4, or 5 years old, and to see them now, you know, at 16, 17, 18, 20 years old is just, it's amazing.
Yeah. And I'm here to tell you, my wife and I were actually having this discussion last night. The world around you, once you hit a certain age as an adult, the world around you keeps going. And these little ones that you see running around are now in high school. And I'm like, man, a year to you is so much more than a year to me.
Yes.
It just, time will pass you by.
So quickly.
Unless you're in there and you're involved.
Yes.
Next thing you know, they're rushing off to college. So tell us about the upcoming Fall Festival. What are the basics? Time, date, and place.
The Fall Festival, we tried to, this will be our first official Fall Festival. We tried to start it last year, but then there was that elk fire that kind of ruined our plans. So it's starts off with a zombie 5K color run at 10 a.m. and that'll be through the town of Dayton. And we have 3 stations where the high school cross country team has volunteered to help us be zombies and they'll do the color part of it. And then from 11 to 2 is just a festival in our parking lot with many, many different crafts. There's a horse-drawn carriage rides, hay rides. There's a silent auction for the Teton Science School, which is a middle school program. We just opened it up to members in our community that, you know, wanted to do as a fundraiser. TRE will be there, Tungerville Elementary. With fundraisers, and you know, we just wanted to do something again for the community where they could come out, enjoy the weather, have some camaraderie, and you know, just be a community.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, that sounds really fun with a zombie run. I don't know if I wouldn't be able to compete very well against a track star, but hopefully the zombies have been the type that were out in the sun for a little bit and they're a little slower.
Will
this be one of those things where I got to wear like the football or what do they call it? Tag football flags.
The flags?
Yeah, and then they can grab them or
just we did the zombie 5K 2 years ago now because we didn't have anything last year with the elk fire, and we did do the flags. This year it's a color run. So each participant will have a white shirt and the zombies will have the paint. It's powdered paint and they'll spray you as you're going by. So just a little bit different twist to it. So
expect a little bit more than just your average 5K.
Yes, exactly.
You're going to be going out there. You're going to be getting dirty. You're going to be having fun. The kids are going to be chasing you, which is more motivation for people like me to actually get the move on instead of lollygagging down the street. Now, what are some, we already talked about our zombie run. What are the costs for entry or specific activities? Or is this a completely free event for the community?
There will be some of the activities will have a cost to them. Pumpkin painting,
pumpkin guts treasure hunt.
Yep.
Pumpkin guts treasure hunt.
Just got to put your hand in. Who knows what you're going to pull out?
This sounds like a good time. This Fall Festival, you're going to be going home, and everyone's going to have to jump at the bat.
Yeah. And then like. The hay rides are free, stuff like that. So there's a combination of pay for activities and then free activities. And then we'll have walking tacos and hot dogs and stuff like that there's a cost for. But because, again, it's a fundraiser for us as well. But
yeah. So go hungry.
Yes, yes. And then we have
Mini donuts, yep. And hot caramel apple cider. So yes. A little fall treats. And then we have live music.
Cora Wood is going to be singing for us. Fantastic. So, yeah, we're excited to have her there. And
this is the
first official
fall festival at the TVCC. Now, something else that goes on out there is your climbing club. I'm just starting to kind of learn about these different clubs that keep kids busy climbing around. The YMCA just brought theirs up. I really want to talk about yours because this is an activity kind of for the kids who may not be super interested in team sports.
Correct.
Maybe they like to kind of do things on their own. But boy, howdy, climbing can be really, really fun. It does amazing things for your physical health. And in my research, I found it does amazing things for your mental health as well.
Right.
Tell me about this club.
Adam Cherney is our climbing instructor, and he's done a phenomenal job getting that climbing program going out there. Usually our climbing clubs are from January until April, and they're 2 days a week. What Adam is proposing right now, what we're have going on right now, is a climbing team, and that's open for all ages from kindergarten basically to adult.
Oh wow!
And he would like to do practices, if you will, at the climbing wall, and then there's a climbing series in Montana at different rock walls and different things that they'll be going to.
He's turning this into a competitive
yeah,
sport.
Yeah, and he's done some competitive stuff at our location and stuff, but he's really excited to get, you know, those kids out there and get them to where, like you said, they have something else besides the team activity and to grow both mentally and physically. So
that's something that really fascinated me. I kind of gravitated towards climbing, which is one reason why I'm really kind of pointing folks out here, because I was that kid. I wasn't heavily involved in team sports, but I climbed trees. I always had a fort up somewhere that I could get to. And I think this would have been an excellent activity for me when I was a younger man. And so I think it would be great for a lot of kids to be able to head out there, jump on that wall, and really develop, like you said, physically, emotionally, and mentally. I mean, it's a great activity. Now, we've got ghosts, ghouls, and superheroes can take part in the Trunk or Treat event. What are folks going to see up there?
So, Fall Festival is this, and Zombie Run is this Friday, or no, this Saturday, the 11th. But then Trunk or Treat is actually the day of Halloween. It's Friday. It's from 5 to 6:30 in the Dayton parking lot. And there will be a bunch of different vendors and trunks, and kids can go around and trick or treat. And while it's light, it's really good for the young kids before it gets super cold, that they can be out and stop. And there's usually books and, I mean, a whole bunch of different people participate in our vendors that make the day really fun. And then usually from there, then they go off trick-or-treating.
Yeah. Now, do you guys, are you looking for anyone else to participate, to drive out there, throw the trunk open, or are you kind of full?
We're always looking. We partner with the school district on this one, and so they kind of take the lead, and so we both help on, you know, getting things out there. But definitely, if any vendor would love to come out, and, you know, if businesses and different things want to be out there, the more the merrier. It makes the evening really fun.
I always kind of looked at that and thought it would be pretty fun to be out there and just hand out candy, and you know, for some reason I don't get a lot of trick-or-treaters, and we were talking about that one kid that always came to the door. Well, last year he showed up with his nephew, and so my kid is aged out, but hopefully I got another one set up.
This event rotates between Ranchester and Dayton, and it is in Dayton this year, so it's at the Tongue River Valley Community Center in Dayton. Usually when it's in Ranchester, it's at TRE. So
you guys should get a lot of kids out there during this time.
We do. And it's fun to see all the little guys and little ladies all dressed up. But it's Brenda Nixon does a nice job with it from TRHS and her creative kids. So that's who we partner with. And so, yeah, it's a great time. And we have some board members that dress up like pirates and they bring down a ship and all that stuff. So
oh,
it's
that's
good.
Great. All right. I've run out of time with you. Carly, one more time. If someone wanted to become a member, if maybe they're just saying, you know what, I'm moving out there. I'm looking forward to kind of joining my community. This is a great opportunity to really get into, introduced to a community. What do they need to do?
They can stop by either locations to sign up, and we give tours and kind of take people through what we have going on. Obviously, you can go to our website, trvcc.org, or you can call and we can kind of get you directed into what you need to do. You can also sign up for a member through our website. So there's a variety of different ways. I think being in a rural community in Wyoming, people like the personal touch. So a lot of people stop in. So then they can see the facility and see what we have going on and get involved that way. So honestly think that's the best way, because then you get to see what's actually going on. So our spot is, we're right off the highway in both places. Highway 14 in Ranchester and in Dayton. So we're on the main drag.
Easy to find.
That's fantastic. Carly, Chad, thank you both so much for coming in this morning. It was an absolute pleasure to meet you. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys again.
Well, I hope to see you on Saturday.
Quite possibly. You never know.
Zombie run.
I can't keep up. All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Lisa Hansen with MC2 Realty, inviting you to take a look at this beautifully maintained four-bedroom, two-bath home featuring AC, a newer roof, and hot water heater. The inviting kitchen offers an island, abundant storage, and a walk-in pantry. A convenient main-level laundry allows for easy single-level living. Ideally situated at 1430 Omar near Mavrakis Pond and the walking path. List price is just $385. To take a look at this property, contact me, Lisa Hansen, at 307-763-3964.
Hey, Doug, my car looks like a leaf pile and smells like pumpkin spice gone wrong.
That's not pumpkin spice, Bob. That's old French fries.
Ah, can you fix that?
Absolutely. The Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop scrubs, shines, and polishes any vehicle inside and out.
Even mine?
Especially yours. We'll make it look brand new. No rake required.
Finally, my car won't double as a compost pile.
Fallen clean at the Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop. Gift certificates are perfect for holidays, or get your ride protected before winter hits.
Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop, 409 Broadway in Sheridan.
Let's talk about tires. Think about the snowy, icy roads ahead, and now think about your current worn tires. How safe does that make you feel? Well, lucky for you, Midas Tire and Auto has big savings on tires this month. Buy three tires and get one half off, plus additional rebates up to $200 on select Cooper and Toyo tires. You'll also get peace of mind knowing your tires are back with the Midas Lifetime Guarantee. Getting and keeping you safely on the road. Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
This public service announcement brought to you by Atlas Chiropractic. Your healing begins when you pick up the phone.
Sheridan County has been filled with fascinating people, places, and events. Dive deep into these stories with Sheridan Community Land Trust's Explore History, the second Tuesday of each month at the Hub on Smith at 10 a.m. and the third Tuesday at the Tongue River Valley Community Center in Dayton at 10:30 a.m. Explore History is free to attend and open to all. Explore this month's program at SheridanCLT.org.
This is Joe Hando of Hando Service Center, and I absolutely credit Gene Sterling and Sheridan Media for the ongoing success of my business. Not a week goes by that someone doesn't stop and say that they love my radio ads on Sheridan Media. What I appreciate is knowing that as a small business owner, I am just as important as the big guys, and maybe even more. My radio ads have won awards, in turn brings me new business. So thank you, Gene, and thank you, Sheridan Media. Good folks doing good business.